Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I am proud to bring you The Art of Healing with Kak Young. Kak is an author, she's a teacher, and she's been a television producer for over 30 years, and I'm greatly honored to have her on my channel. So now, without further ado, the one, the only, Dr. Kak Young. Greetings, Kak. How are you?
Thank you, Hercules. I'm just fine. Just fine. I'm so happy to be on the show tonight because we're going to be interviewing the authors of The Green Witch's Guide to Magical Plants and Flowers. We're going to talk to the authors, Chris Young and Susan Ottaviano. And the authors ask you one thing. In these trying times, couldn't we all use a little more magic in our lives? They have unlocked the secrets hiding in your garden, transforming everyday fruits, flowers, and plants into bath salts, herbal infusions, soaps, sachets, tinctures, and more. These enchanting all-natural recipes illuminate pathways to love, health, peace, prosperity, and harmony. Oh, I can't wait to talk to them. So please welcome the authors, Susan Ottaviano and Chris Young.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi there.
How are you?
Chris here. Yeah. Very good. Thanks so much for having
us.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank
great,
you.
Great. Now, I believe, Susan, you're on the East Coast and Chris, you're on the West?
Yes. We've got the country covered here.
Yeah,
where are
look
you?
At that. Covering the geography. Well, the book is absolutely gorgeous. Every page in it is worth framing.
Well, thank you so much.
That's
and
so
thank
nice.
You so much for your endorsement of the book as well. We really appreciate
it. Oh, my goodness. Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
That meant a lot.
I'm happy to have you on. In fact, Deborah Harry, who is Blondie, for those of us who come from earlier times, said that, I think this book is a keeper, and I will have it on my shelf within easy reach for the next time I want to cast a love spell on the object of my affection. Well, yeah,
yay,
I mean,
Debbie.
That and so much more. I want to talk about you guys first. Learn a little bit more about you, and how you met, and how this book came about. Chris, let's start with you.
Okay, we met through Susan's band, Book of Love, early on when the band started. I was an instant fan, and we became friends over the years, and just became really great friends, and realized we had so much in common, our interests. And this is one of them, nature, flowers, green witchcraft. And so we kind of figured, how could we combine our talents and make something of it?
And this is the result. We spent a lot of time, and we wanted to put together, you know, something that we could do together. And this sort of organically grew into, it was just a little idea that grew into a big book. So it was a very wonderful process.
Well, it certainly
did.
It
took us a long
time
to get here.
I must commend you on finding a publisher that will publish in four-color color. You know, it's like, that is so huge. Now, what fascinates me about you, Susan, is that you are also an award-winning food stylist. So, and that, for our listeners, is a wonderful artistic craft where all of the advertising agencies and different food commercials or different producers of food commercials hire you to come in and make the food look like your mouth is watering to bite into it. And so they use all kinds of clever things. There's a little bit of oil here, it's all the tricks of the trades. And it's a stunning art form. I've worked with many stylists in my years in television. And so naturally that artistic vent would certainly fall over into this fabulous book. It's gorgeous. Now, it's not just for witches, right? Tell me why.
Well, I think it's for everybody. I mean, it's for everybody that wants to have a little magic in their life. And you can enjoy
curious.
It. Yes, the witch curious. Is that what you said, Chris?
Yeah.
I think that everybody can enjoy parts of our book. There's something for everyone. And I think that what you were saying about food styling is this has been, we know, like when we were thinking of our book, I don't even know if we thought we were going to have recipes, did we, Chris, at the beginning?
No,
I'm not sure what we thought. And it's been great to develop the recipes, and it's exciting. And, you know, I got to illustrate the recipes where I usually style them, but strangely enough, it's very similar.
Well, if you hear me munching during the show, it's because I made your orange cake this afternoon.
Are you kidding? Wow.
No, of course I'm not. And so I made it, but instead of putting your candied violets on it and blueberries, I put nasturtiums, and then I took a picture of it in front of my nasturtiums.
Oh.
So it's very
pretty.
That's
awesome. We need to see that. Could you send that to us?
Oh, yeah. I want to see that.
Yes, I will. I'll absolutely send it to you. Yeah, so that was fun. Yes, I love what you've done, and I love how you've made spells and ways to attract the things you want in your life really simple and, well, they're just lusciously romantic, I would say.
That's perfect. We love
hearing that. That's so perfect, and we tried to make them as simple as possible. We didn't want the book to be intimidating. Like you were saying earlier, it's not necessarily for witches. It's for anybody because the spells are really so simple that anybody can do them, and there's no intimidation factor, I think, of having to be a certain way and you know, do it a certain way. I think it's all pretty simple and welcoming.
We're encouraging people to use their imagination and to be creative about, you know, achieving their goals.
I think that a lot of people think, oh, to be a witch is like to have a big cauldron and you're stirring all this weird stuff. cauldron, boil and bubble. But you make these little spells freighted with intention and to attract what you want. You use the natural properties of the fruits and herbs and things that you've collected in order to enhance what your intention is. So tell me a little bit. Well, let me read something first. In your introduction, you say, imagine yourself calmly strolling through a beautiful flower-filled garden with the gentle sounds of birds singing and the bees and butterflies dancing from flower to flower. I mean, I think that is what stirs the soul to really get into what you talk about.
Oh, thank you.
Definitely. I mean, it's really a sensory experience, too. We feel that book is a sensory experience of just all your senses coming alive and how it makes you feel.
Yeah. Now, Chris, right. You were into being a green witch prior to this, am I right? And you had a beautiful garden that Susan came to visit?
He has
a beautiful garden.
It's in the present. He has an amazing garden.
Thank you, Susan. I actually sort of crossed paths with green witchcraft in my very first job. I was working as an agent's assistant at William Morris, a big talent agency in New York. And it was very stressful, very thankless. And that was back in the day when, you know, agencies were really fancy and they had their own kitchen. And you would go in the morning and get your boss his Bialy and his coffee with extra cream and sugar. And I remember just being so stressed out and going into the kitchen, and this little woman named Irma, saw how upset I was, and she said, oh, you know, there are things you can do. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She said, well, let's take these onion skins. Well, you know, and she popped out her little cauldron, and she burned some onion skins for me, and she told me to make a wreath out of birch to put on my door, you know, and she taught me all these things that were so relaxing and calming that it always stuck with me. I wasn't actively practicing it, you know, for years. And then when we started working on this book, I said, wait a minute, I know something. I know a way to make these plants far more interesting. I remember my green witchcraft. And that's how it happened.
Oh, I love it. Well, you know, shout out to Irma. Thank you, Irma.
Yes. Yeah, wherever she may be, I owe her a lot.
Well, let's talk about how you can create things like peace, like between you and your lover. You have a recipe for that.
Well, I think we have the MeadowSweet recipe for peace between lovers, right, Chris? That's one of sprinkling MeadowSweet petals around your bed and your room is kind of clearing the air and having peace, making it more peaceful between two lovers. That's one of our spells in there. Like you said, they're simple and they're get to the point.
And you say that strawberry incense, if you burn it, it gets rid of negative energy.
Yes.
That's while one of our tips. While you're, especially, it's a good thing to do while you're cleaning, just to sort of clear the air as well as clean the house.
Great, and I love the fact that if you're ready for love, you put a pot of basil in your window, and that's really charming. So tell me more about that.
Well, you found the poster we just did. We did a special poster about 10 tips from Two Green Witches. That's our name together is Two Green Witches. And we came up with 10 tips out of the book that are just simple tips for finding more love in your life and more happiness. So you just touched on three of them. I guess you were saying the basil plant, the meadow sweet, and what was the other thing that she said?
The strawberry incense.
The strawberries. So we have
strawberry
those
incense.
Are just, you know, those are part of like a part of a book that we have. In each chapter, we have a do you know section. And I think most of them were taken from that, Chris. Is that right, you think?
Yeah. And back to basil, it's just such an awesome plant in general. Basil is one of those things where if you toss it around on the floors, it makes it so that no evil can live there. It's also like
it's for wealth
when it's given
as well.
As a gift. Yeah, it's for wealth, and when it's given as a gift, it brings good luck and it's protection to the home. So having that pot of basil outside your door, basil, really is a protection too for you and your home.
Well, that's
and
really wonderful.
I just have to say, I would be nowhere without – are you familiar with the Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs?
Yes. I'm married to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're like, yes. Yeah. Right. It's our Bible, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So I'd be nowhere without that. I highly recommend anyone who has even a little bit of interest in, like, what do they mean when they say plants have magical properties? To check out that book because it really is a wealth of information.
Yes, and this is from something like the 15th century, so it's really an amazing book. It just talks about everything, not only how to grow them in some of the areas, but also what they mean, their spiritual meaning and their practical meaning.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing.
It is. It's a wonderful herb. Now, you also suggest for calm that you get out a paper and some colored pencils and you draw tulips. Tell me about that.
Oh yeah. Well, we have what we like to call in the book magical mindfulness, and it's ways that you can also use those flowers or those herbs to calm yourself and bring yourself peace. And one of our suggestions, and it largely because Susan is such an artist, and you don't have to be an artist to do this, but I was inspired by Susan, is just because tulips are such a simple flower and they're so beautiful that it's something, again, that's not intimidating. If you were going to sit down and just try to sketch it, you could probably do a pretty decent
job. Looking at shapes and colors. And that's what, you know, you really know a flower when you draw it. You know what I mean? You see things that you wouldn't normally see. And we're sort of asking you to look at the whole world that way. And the simple pleasures, you know, that's another simple thing that you can do, like a cup of tea.
like I was saying in the introduction, like imagine if you not only stopped and smelled the roses, but you stayed with them and felt them and touched them and, you know, really got all the tactile sensory of the rose and just like saying, oh, it's so pretty, you know, like really experience it.
I was thinking that the other day, Chris, I didn't mention that to you, but I was feeling like the whole idea of our book is really stop and smell the roses.
Yeah.
That
is a really
you know what I mean?
Sum it up.
It's just to take the time to appreciate the beautiful world, the world that's right before you, you know, and how to, I mean, that's what we're saying with the magical mindfulness as well.
Yeah, the magical mindfulness to self-care, I think you write in the book.
In all aspects, self-care is part of it, but relaxation, meditating, ways to empower yourself and feel better about yourself. It's mindfulness.
And the way gardening
is a
meditation.
Excuse me, Chris?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and the way gardening and cooking are also meditation.
Yes, yes.
Yes, indeed. Even baking a loaf of sourdough bread is a meditation if you take the time to pay attention.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Sweep in the kitchen.
Really
gotta, things,
you really got to know that sourdough, right?
Yeah.
And you, what I love about your book is that you have a little bit for everybody. And I love the page where you have a list of the essential tools. So you want to make sure that people have the right tools before they start doing some of your recipes. And it's really a very easy and simple list, but it's wonderful to have things broken out like that. And then you also list the flowers alphabetically. And that's very helpful, too, because then it's a reference guide. And as several other of your admirers have said, it's a book that they will keep around forever. It's going to be a go-to book for living with nature in their kitchen.
We hope it's like a little bedside table, one of your favorite kind of little jewel box books that you keep and you refer back to.
That's instead of a coffee table book, it's a bedside book.
Yeah, great. Well, let's talk a little bit about green witchcraft and what it means. A lot of people don't know anything about witchcraft except what they've read in history about the three witches in Macbeth, et cetera. And what is green witchcraft and why do you practice it or call yourselves green witches?
Well, I would say, first of all, green witchcraft is something that centers around nature. It's something that one does individually as opposed to having a coven. They also call us kitchen witches or hedge witches or plant witches because it really does center around the idea of magical herbs. And I forgot what your second part of the question was.
In nature.
Oh, and nature, yes.
We call
it's about respecting nature and about intention.
Yes, intention and using magical plants and flowers to enhance your life, basically.
So what is your definition of a witch?
Well, I think that for us it's a little bit more of a – I think we're kind of like not as much about the rules of being what a witch is. For us, it's what we feel, the type of witch that we are. And that's why we...
Yeah, it's our is very free form, but all very positive. Like, all you know, it's all like good intentions. You know, your intentions should always be good and positive and for the betterment of a situation.
We sort of consider it more of a state of mind than, you know, just an exact craft of what we do. And that's why I'm saying we encourage people to be creative with it. Use our... enchantments and our spells, but make your own up as well. You know, the idea is to feel good about yourself.
Susan and I do both have brooms.
But we do have brooms. And brooms, you know, sweeping is also the same kind of thing, what we're talking about, a mindfulness exercise that you know, focuses you and relaxes you and all these kind of rituals.
Clearing
it's like a tea ceremony, a Japanese tea ceremony.
Yes,
sorry,
you
yeah.
say
the
in your book.
Driving by my house.
Never use your broom for sweeping, you say in your book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, never for house cleaning.
You should have two brooms.
That would be disrespectful to your broom.
Just
one for your magic and one
sweeping
for your
out the,
for cleaning.
The negative.
Yeah,
so
just for sweeping away your area, the negative energy. So you're symbolically sweeping with it.
Perfect. I think you described a green witch in your book here as a champion of the environment as well.
Yeah. I mean, we also feel like, you know, live life authentically and, you know, we're about self-care, kindness, and our desire to empower other like-minded people.
Well,
yeah,
and you also...
Well said.
Besides the amazing list you have of things to gather, you also have a list of ways to begin your magical journey. And the first one on your list is dream.
Yeah.
And that's
dream on it.
Yeah, because that's
yeah,
what...
Yeah, dream just... Go ahead, Susan.
It's perfect that you made that first.
Yeah, because we really need
to
see the book as a bedside book.
It's to aspire towards something, you know, it is, mm-hmm. and that's sort of why that's a great thing for it to be the first one for us.
And do you want people to then have a journal and record their dreams the next day?
Sure, if they like to.
I recommend it. Yeah, I recommend it because, I mean, there's a lot. With dreams, dream interpretation and things like that. So you might really learn a lot through your dream journals. We don't talk about dream journaling, but I would put that under the magical wellness section of the book because it really is something that would be very calming and very centering.
As well as lucid dreams
magical
and learning how to
sorry.
Have more lucid dreams.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it that much in that book, but in this book, but it's something that we're definitely interested in because, again, dreams, you know, inform you of other things. It's part of your imagination and daydreaming. You know, we're firm believers in daydreaming. I mean, that's where all these things happen and things don't happen today because of cell phones and all the things like when you're not smelling the roses, you're not, you know, working with your imagination. You're closed off.
Yeah, and I don't know if I meant to say put down your cell phone when you're walking through that garden, but I should have said that in the intro.
Well, you said
sure.
it in the book.
Yeah.
You said it a couple of times in the book, and I think that's why you know, I'm sort of saying today about the stop and smell the roses, you know?
Yeah, put down your phone and smell the roses.
You also mentioned that intuition has a big role in being a green witch. Talk about that.
Well, it does. I mean, as much as I espouse the use of the Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs, I also think that you learn magical properties of plants by learning the plant yourself, by spending time with the plant, by growing a plant. And for instance, if I want to add tenacity to a spell or, say, a sachet, I love sachets, doing those are so fun, I would add morning glory seeds. Nothing's told me to do this, but I just know that the plant is tenacious. You know, anybody who gardens knows that morning glory is a pretty highly successful plant. So that's an example of intuition. Where you're,
or cooking with
just
love.
The thing you have to remember. Yeah, and the thing you have to remember is make sure the plant know if your plant is poisonous, which morning glory is. So don't ingest it. You can carry it in your bag in your sachet, but don't ingest it. And also know if they've been sprayed with any sort of chemicals or weed killers, things like that, because you don't want to use that. You don't want to come into contact with that.
Yeah, well, that's
but
a very good point. People truly have to garden organically without pesticides or anything if they're going to be working spells because you can't have your product tainted.
No, that's the worst thing. And it's so dangerous. It's dangerous to the spell and it's dangerous to your health.
You also talk about creating rituals. Now, I know that you have some, you have a lot of recipes in your book, not only about food, but how to do things, how to create a sachet for love, for example. But what would you suggest is the main ritual you want people to do?
Well, I think we want them to embrace rituals. It's not one main ritual. It's really make yourself a cup of tea, relax, all the things that you've been saying. Draw the tulip.
Yeah.
Take a bath. Put flowers around
her.
Run a bath, things like that. It's just rituals.
Light
it's like
candles.
What I was saying about an ancient, you know, like Japanese tea ceremonies. The ritual is both, it's a meditative thing and it's a tangible thing. So it does both things.
And symbolic.
So I think it centers you. What, Chris?
And a symbolic thing.
Yeah, yeah, symbolic is what he said. And then you encourage meditation as well.
Yes, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of it, like as I say, is kind of moving meditation, really. You know, you're meditating when you're drawing the tulips. My favorite form of meditation, because I'm such a plant nerd, is gardening. I mean, I can be completely freaking out, kind of panicking over something, and then I decide, okay, I'm going to go out and do something really simple, like just weed. There's nothing more simple than weeding the garden, but it's so therapeutic. By the time you've weeded a patch of your flower bed or your yard or wherever, or your flower box, you feel so satisfied, and you literally, for that time period, you've forgotten what you were worrying about.
Well, the rituals also get you out of your head. It's like cutting up an onion, mm-hmm. The same thing about food. If you cut up an onion and you focus on your task, it is also relaxing, and then you create something through that people enjoy. And that's what I was saying about, you know, everybody says food tastes better when you're cooking with love. I mean, that's intuition.
Sure,
right.
And some of those onions, they'll have you wiping your face and blotting those tears, too.
Yeah. Don't rub your eyes.
Don't rub your eyes. Yeah. Now you talk about exploring. So you want people to explore not only their own garden, but if they don't have any land that they can work on, how can they have a garden inside?
Well,
I say
inside.
Use those windowsills and flower boxes and fire escapes and what have you, and patios, anything you have. Any kind of space you have, whether it's inside your windowsill or outside your windowsill, you can still do it. You can still grow things. You just have to get a little more creative, and you have to be more mindful of your watering, because when things are in pots, they have to be watered more often.
Yes, and not watered onto their neighbor, I would assume.
Yes, and also be polite.
And you also say, okay, well, you know, if you don't have your own garden, or to add to inspiration, go ahead and go to a botanical garden, go to a flower show,
exactly,
go to an orchid show.
I live in the city.
Find a park.
I don't have my own garden. I live in the city.
Susan's the perfect example. She has to go out for her nature.
But I look at what we're saying about drawing the flowers. I know the flowers better than anybody because I look at them so carefully. So there's sort of a lot of ways to experience nature. It's not always just the obvious.
Sure. And if you have kids, wouldn't it be fun to sit down with the whole family and maybe have a flower of the week that you draw?
Do you have kids? Because I don't think
that
my kids,
so sweet.
My son would
that.
Not be into that.
No, your son would not be into that. But if he was little, he might.
Maybe.
When he was little, maybe he
sometimes
would. Maybe.
You have to share your interests a little bit more than they actually do.
Yeah, yeah.
Depends
and then,
on your
then
kid,
you,
I guess.
You advise that people set their intentions, and that is for performing their spell as well as staying focused in the moment, also being, I don't know, to
present
have...
Present and aware.
Yeah, okay, to have awareness and to have a goal in mind spiritually.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're doing a love spell, or if you're doing a calming or a peaceful spell, you want to really set the intention for what it is you are doing and what it is you want the end result to be.
Yeah, always stay on the goal. You know, always be thinking, what is your goal? What is your goal? As you're doing it, as you're eating it, if it's a menu, or as you're soaking in the tub, if it's jasmine salts or something like that. Always stay focused on your intention.
And it's a great way to focus and realize what your goals are. You know, sometimes you don't easily get there. We're encouraging you to, you know, do that work to manifest what things you want in your life.
How do the plants and herbs figure into the law of attraction?
Well, this book is based on...
Go ahead.
This book is based on love. It is the overwhelming... All the plants have love properties. They have other properties as well, but we chose for this book to do 26 plants and flowers that attract love.
All right, and then you want people to do some research, to find the books about plants and read about the flowers. And where they came from and what they do, and why is that helpful?
I think it's because the more you know, the more, what do they always say? Knowledge is power. The more you know about the plants, and also, you know, we want to encourage people to have a natural curiosity. Like, I find that almost every season I have a crush on a different plant, and right now, I have a crush on I'm in a big rose phase right now. And so I've been, like, going to botanical gardens, looking at other roses, looking at rose catalogs just to learn the different kinds and, you know, that sort of thing.
I love what Chris said about curiosity, because I think that's another, huge theme of the book. It's just be more curious, you know? And we kind of created the book that we wanted to read. You know, we talk a lot about different flowers in terms of Greek mythology, stories, ancient stories. We sort of tried to create something we would want, information we would want to know.
Right.
Well, I think you did that too, and I think people can just look at the book and get a whole impression of calmness and serenity, and it's just so beautiful. I mean, it's playful in a really inspiring way.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Whimsical is something that means a lot to us.
Yeah,
you
we
also
tried to
want
write
people
it and
to,
draw it that way.
You want people to fall in love with this grimoire, and a grimoire is really a book of spells. So
yes.
Yeah, and it's right, because you want them to enjoy the whimsical part of it, the illustrations, and a dear friend that you can go back to and back to and back to every time you need to lighten your spirit or solve a problem or attract a solution. So it's really a book of healing.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And you can nerd out on all of our Did You Know sections, which is all like the history of the plant in history and the different mythologies, different sort of Greek mythologies that are behind some of the plants.
I mean, this book
Go ahead, Susan.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, for Chris to explore his near encyclopedia. A knowledge of plants. I mean, he has he just has a crazy amount of information. So some of this he looked into, but a lot of it he just knows off the top of his head.
Like my favorite mythology behind a plant is hyacinth. I don't know if you read that one. Do you know that one?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's where Apollo, the sun god, and Zephyr, the god of the west wind, are in love with the same young prince. And his name is Hyacinthos. And apparently one day Apollo is teaching him how to throw a discus. And in a jealous rage, Zephyr blew a big bunch of wind so strong that it caused the discus to strike Hyakinthos in the head, and it killed him. And it said that flowers grew from where his blood spilled on the ground. And the next day, Apollo, who was so upset that he'd lost his prince, named the flower Hyacinth. And so consequently, the flower is often used in spells to attract same-sex love, which I love that. Who knew?
That's very sweet. Yeah, that's very sweet. And, you know, Freya, the goddess of the Nordic and,
yep,
and the North, she was the goddess that ran her cats. She had a team of cats on reins that she ran around the sun, which she brought day and then night and day and then night. And so the daisy is really the center of it, is the sun, and the leaves represent her cats.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
I know.
That
one, I don't know. That's great.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just fabulous. Yeah. And
so my inner nerd really went crazy getting to research stuff like that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, tell us, one of the most charming little anecdotes in your book is the story of the Indian paintbrush. Can you just give us that legend? I think everybody will enjoy that.
There was a little Indian boy, a Native American boy, who was kind of too small. He's kind of a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer story. He was kind of too small to play with the other kids. And so he had taken up painting. And he was amazing, and everybody loved his paintings. And he wanted to paint the sunset, but try however hard as he might, he couldn't quite capture it. And he didn't know what to do. So he found these special paint brushes that were, well, I should say, he found these special paint brushes that he was able to capture all the colors of the sunset with, and he left them in the field the day after he had painted his sunset. And the next morning, when he woke up, everywhere where his paint brushes were, there were Indian paintbrush flowers blooming.
Flowers used from the paint brushes.
That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful.
And I just love that it's I love that we have history of all sorts. You know, we have Native American history.
Yeah.
We have Greek mythology. We have Norse stuff. It's kind of all in there.
And it's always been
a
fascination for both of us over the years. That's what I was saying about, we kind of created the book we wanted to read.
Yeah,
well,
did the book that we envisioned.
And isn't it wonderful when you connect with past history and the ancestors and people who had these beliefs before us, and they have trickled down through generations, and now you can capture what you want and put it into your book to make it even richer and more grounded.
Yeah, it definitely adds more flavor to the flowers, right? It definitely gives it greater depth, you know. I mean, there's the gardening advice, too, but I think the history is super fun.
Well, I'm going to read a little bit about the apple for the listeners, because I think it's just a sample of how much detail you give, but also, I don't know, it's the magic in it that you talk about. You say that the humble pie is an ancient symbol of immortality. It is a beautiful, medium-sized, deciduous tree covered in white to pink blossoms in the spring and lovely round golden to red fruit in the summer and autumn. It has been in cultivation for thousands of years, not just because it's a delicious food, but also due to the fact that it has magical properties, including love, fertility, and protection and longevity. Medicinally, apples are said to help lower the risk of heart disease, and regular consumption is reported to help with memory loss. Apples are perfect in love spells, as the tree is the sign of Aphrodite, the ancient Greek goddess of love, desire, sex, and beauty. An added bonus is that apples are delicious, so most love spells naturally will involve eating them. And I love you give a direction that says
apple.
People will fall in love and retain their love if they share an apple.
Yeah, to create a love spell that is simple and true, have your crush share an apple with you.
Yes. You know, and who would have thought here that you'd want us to create a little altar to Aphrodite, decorate it with myrtle, myrrh, and roses, along with shells and other items from the sea. And then add three golden apples.
And I wish everybody could see Susan's drawing.
Oh, I know. If only this were television, right? It's just
right.
The drawings. I mean, even the font choices in this book are just stunning.
Thank you. I need
thank
to tell Jade that, our friend Jade.
Yes, thank
the
you, Jade.
And,
you got that
they,
font for us.
Yes.
Jade Lee.
Well, and I don't know how you found a publisher that's willing in this day and age to print in four colors. It's just
it's because of our agent. Our agent really
did
it.
We're excited about it. And we're going to see the book hopefully in the next day or two. It's going to land on our doorstep, so we're really excited because
we're
going to
be getting our author's copy soon.
The final book yet. It's going to be out on June 6th, but you can pre-order it now.
So June 6th is your pub date, but you can pre-order on Amazon or I would assume anywhere you get your books, Barnes & Noble,
definitely.
Et cetera.
Your local bookstore, we support all the indie bookstores, so if you can order it from your locally, the Two Green Witches endorse that.
Right, and if you've forgotten the title, it is called The Green Witch's Guide to Magical Plants and Flowers, 26 Love Spells from Apples to Zinnias.
It's a long one, but you could just do the first part of it, and it'll come up
exactly.
On Amazon.
Yeah,
exactly.
The original title was Love Spells from Apples to Zinnias, but Green Witch's Guide is now the full title.
Well, it's amazing. And I love you even have here, because of the history of apples as a love potion, you've even got apple lover's tea in here and how to make it and how to steep it and then how to drink it.
Yes, we have a lot of tea recipes in the book, and that's one of them. There's so many stories in mythology about apples, though. We had to limit what we could put in there. There's a great story with Paris and the apples. I mean, is that what that original spell is based on, Chris?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The one in our book? You know, you had to choose between who was the most beautiful, Aphrodite, Athena, and I forget who the third one was. Athena, and who else?
I can't remember either.
It might have even been Helen, of Troy. There was a whole thing about that, and the apple just comes up in Greek mythology so many stories, and that was an ancient spell that we had read about. That Chris kind of riffed on. That's in the book.
Well,
I whittled
and also,
it down to.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say I whittled it down to when you slice an apple laterally, the seeds make a pentagram, the shape of the seeds, and so of course to a witch that means it's magic, and it's pentagrams are protection and luck. And it says that stargazers even use the five position points to track the morning star in the heavens over an 8-year period, which I thought was fascinating.
Absolutely.
Well, in Avalon, there was a magical apple tree as well in Glastonbury. And, it's coming from the apples were very healing in the time of King Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I'm reading a new book on that period as well, a new novel. But it is interesting now that we're talking about our book, we're learning all these other different, it's like from different cultures, even more stories. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Every culture pretty much has an apple.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, apples are omnipotent.
And I think my favorite is the apple bonding spell. You take an apple, you say, just like you would a pumpkin, you core it, and then you carve a heart on the front of it, and then you put the name of your crush or the love you want to have, and you place it in there along with your photo, and you bind them together with a dollop of maple syrup. And then you put the lid back on your apple and you bury it, and the carved apple, bury it during a full moon, and your love will come true.
That's one of the cutest ones. I love that spell.
Oh, I know. So you have to get a crisp apple for that. You can't have a mushy apple and carve it into.
Yeah, you have to have a firm pumpkin-y apple for that.
You need a little skill on that one.
Yeah, a little skill on that one. In other words, keep your pumpkin carving tools that you got at the dime store before you throw them out.
Right.
Carve your apple.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
well,
you love to talk about
it. Honestly, I would say that's one of the more complicated spells we have, just to point out how simple the spells are. I would say that's one of the more complicated ones.
Yeah, well, and I love what you say about basil. Now, basil was one of Hippocrates' favorite healing herbs back in the day, and so you also talked about it being a healer in Ayurvedic medicine as well. And
yes.
It's you can cook with it. You can also, like you said earlier, use shards of it as protection in your house, and you can make
mm-hmm.
a sachet filled with fresh or shredded dried basil leaves and wear it around your neck.
Mm-hmm. Or you can make an incense out of the basil, too, for the same effect.
And that helps your relationship, and it heals
mm-hmm.
any rocky stuff you have between two people.
And
yes,
then the best part
burn
is
it on your...
a recipe for pesto, so you two as a couple can ingest it together in the most delicious way.
Sure. Have a little pesto, and now here's an apple, honey, and there's your dinner.
Yeah.
And with your orange cake, which has healing properties.
Yeah, enjoy your orange cake.
And you can combine your
I'm
pesto
so
with mint, and that adds a little luck. And you could put some other herbs in it together and combine a few different sort of protection. Parsley is for protection.
Yeah.
You could put parsley in your pesto. Parsley is one of the herbs in our book.
You should be creative right now as we speak.
Right,
well,
that's what
great.
We're encouraging, and that's what we're encouraging
yeah, what we're
our
encouraging.
Readers to do, too.
Yeah,
use
exactly.
our recipes and our spells as a jump-off point, and then create your own.
Create your own,
mm-hmm.
yeah, my gosh. I don't know if anybody could do, I suppose an artist could replicate your beautiful artwork, but such a book. I mean, it's a gorgeous book to have, like you guys said, at your bedside. Read a spell a night. Really think about it. Do your own research. And then it makes beautiful gifts. If you have somebody coming up for a graduation, get them this. There's always birthdays, holidays coming
Valentine's
up. It's a Valentine's is a beautiful gift book. And maybe create one or two of the sachets within the book and include that for them, whatever is on their mind.
Oh, that's such a nice idea.
Yeah.
Making things for people is so, you know, it's everything that we're saying about meditating. It's loving towards another person. Make them a sachet. Make them the bath salts and give it as gifts. You'll feel good and you make someone else feel good.
Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
And then you know they'll have the book to then go ahead and explore and do what they want to do as well.
Absolutely,
my favorite part of the book is that it has a nameplate in the front.
That's
yeah,
cute.
Yeah,
just like that.
Belongs
we did it. This
to.
Book belongs to because all my favorite books growing up had a This Book Belongs
oh,
to.
Oh, yeah,
so,
all the gold. Didn't all the golden books have that?
Yeah, we sort of got a chance to do, like, everything we always wanted to do. So why stop,
right.
You know, why stop
this
there?
Is
let's
our,
just keep
this
adding
book really
one more
is our fantasy. Yeah,
so
we
you
were really
get out
lucky.
Little,
our publisher was very free with us.
You get out your little calligraphy pen and write your name as beautifully as you want to on the little nameplate, and then it's yours forever.
Mm-hmm. It binds it to you.
That's
well, it's
true.
Really, really beautiful. And I'm really glad you two wrote this book because I think it simplifies the whole idea of witchcraft. And witchcraft was not all this spooky stuff in the back. That's a lot to do with Hollywood and
yeah.
a lot of fear-mongering. What witches really were is they were simple people who lived usually on the outskirts of town, and they grew their mm-hmm. own herbs, and they knew how to use them for sickness and also for some spells, but they were gentle folk. They were very in touch with the earth, and it was handed down family to family.
And they were the
and
wise
then
women
when,
of the town, and they served the
yes.
community. You know,
yes,
it was
were,
a very
yeah, I
positive and
really
empowering
like the
thing.
Shaman.
That's what we'd like to take back, you know?
Yes, and
yeah.
it was very, very necessary and in favor. And then when the major churches got involved and banned all of that, do you know how mm-hmm. herbs were saved for the modern world?
No.
No.
The monks in Italy and some of the monks in France, behind their walled monkeries, their monasteries, they grew the herbs because they knew that people could come to them and that they wouldn't be excommunicated if they healed people with the herbs.
Wow.
Isn't that stunning?
Wow.
Yeah. So it was the monks that saved
wow.
witchcraft and all of those remedies for us for this time. So we have,
I
you know, the Christian Brothers brewed brandy, God bless them, and the monks saved the herbs.
Cheers.
Yes, it's really fun. I think it was the University of Padua that did that as well. So, yeah, we've got
That's
a lot of people to thank.
Yeah.
It's wonderful where it leads you, isn't it? It's just wonderful.
It really is. It's just endlessly curious to me.
All
and
right,
we're learning
so,
a lot more since we've done this, so it's exciting for us, too, as well.
Oh, I'll bet.
It is.
All right, so let's tell people how they can find you, Chris Young, and Susan Ottaviano. Where can they find you?
Well, they should follow us on our Instagram account. This is Two Green Witches. So Chris and I are Two Green Witches together. That's our
And it's the number
that's
two.
Our name. The number two.
So
two
number
green
two
witches.
And then Green Witches.
Okay, so that's your Instagram. And do you have any TikTok going on?
Yes, we have a TikTok that's also Two Green Witches. So you can check
Beautiful.
Us out there. We just kind of started that. And please
yeah, we're
pre-order
just getting
our
book. We're just getting into TikTok.
And how about Facebook?
We don't have a Facebook.
We don't have a Facebook. My garden
people.
Has a Facebook. If you want to see my garden is at Tinyster of Laurel Canyon.
Say that again, Chris.
On Facebook. It's at Tiny Sur of Laurel Canyon, T-I-N-Y-S-U-R of Laurel Canyon.
Okay. So we're talking to Chris Young and Susan Ottaviano, and we're discussing the Green Witch's Guide to Magical Plants and Flowers, 26 Love Spells from Apples to Zinnias. And I'm going to give you the last word here. We have about a minute and a half. So go ahead and tell us what you want us to know about your book and what you want us to remember.
Well, if you like what you're hearing, if you like what you're hearing tonight, please pre-order our book because pre-orders make a huge difference. And if your book has a good pre-order, it's going to make the difference about other people getting a chance to see your book. It is really the thing that changes a book. So please, if you could, pre-order our book and check it out and let us know what you think.
And I would like to add, just remember, we talked about it a little bit before, but just remember, always with your spells, always with your plants, use organic and pesticide-free.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's it for The Art of Healing tonight. The Art of Healing for Mind, Body, and Soul with herbs, plants, flowers, and this wonderful book, The Greenwich's Guide to Magical Plants and Flowers. Thank you for joining us tonight, Chris and Susan. It's been a pleasure. And with that, I'll turn
Thank
it over
so
to our producer, Hercules.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you
Thank
all for
you.
A wonderful show. This was very pleasant to listen to and very interesting. The third goddess, by the way, was Ida, or Hera, as she's called in English.
Oh, great. Good to know. Thank you so much, Hercules.
And thank you so much, Kat, and thank you to our wonderful audience. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand, until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody. Good night.